Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for the opportunity to present this afternoon. Thank you also to Biomed Central for inviting me to visit this lovely country for the first time. And before I continue, I would like to congratulate and commend the work that's been done by Rosemary and her team. I think it's incredible, and it makes us feel real proud of Africa and what can be achieved. So keep on going, and please support what we are doing from our side. What I will talk to you about is mostly what's being done at the Stellenbosch University. I used to be the institutional repository manager at the University of Pretoria for 4 years from the implementation phase, and I left last year and accepted a position at the University of Stellenbosch, where I became the institutional repository manager. So I will speak from a library's perspective, a librarian's perspective, as well as from an institutional repository manager's perspective. I will refer to our strategic objective, how the repository fits in with the institution's strategy, institutional repositories in Africa in general, Sun Scholar, the name of our repository, Biomed Central and Sun Scholar. I just don't know it, but we've decided to partner with him. So welcome on board, Biomed Central. And then, of course, how we promote open access awareness on campus, and a conclusion. Now, Stellenbosch is a little town in the Western Cape, and it's a lovely town. So it's almost on the most southern part of Africa. You will see the little dot there from the Google Maps. And it's in the Western Cape. It's the center of the South African wine industry. And it's so nice analogy to use, because every time I speak to the researchers and try to convince them, I tell them, you know what, a wine farmer at least has a bottle of wine to show at the end of the day. What do we as a research institution have to show at the end of the day? We don't even have copies of our research output. So that, I think that makes them buy into this thing of open access, I hope. The university has 24,000 students. It's a relatively small university when compared to, it's one of the four top research universities at in South Africa. But we are, I think, the smallest, with 24,000 students, 800 lectures and 50 research bodies. We have 10 faculties. And I thought I would mention this. The library is notable for being subterranean. It's underneath the ground. So you can walk all over the library. But I would also like to mention that although we are not the institution with the highest research output of the four top research universities, when looking at individual researchers on average, our individual researchers publishes the most articles per individual when compared to other universities. So we're really doing great in that regard. And also we take pride in the fact that we have one of the country's highest proportions of postgraduate students, of which almost 10% are international students, most probably also from Kenya. I'm not sure, I can't tell. Anyway, just some background. Now, the HOPE project is something our vice rector and our rector and vice chancellor, Professor Russell Botman, has embarked on. And he referred to this as our new long-term strategic plan. But at the same time, it's also a funding fundraising campaign. He sees in this HOPE project, in the objectives, he sees the responsibilities of the universities as being, we have a moral responsibility towards the poor rural communities to help uplift those communities. We have a historical responsibility to face up to the lingering burdens of the 20th century, and we see that we need to embrace the challenges of the 21st century, the new young generations, the new ways of learning, the new opportunities of research, and also harnessing emerging technologies. And we would like to deploy our key strengths and put our weight behind our researchers, help develop leaders in Africa so that these leaders with the newly acquired skills can go back to their own countries, and so that it has a snowball effect like we did with a repository training. Rosemary got back to Kenya, Nairobi, and then she started training. So it helps others and empowers others, and I strongly believe in self-empowerment and acquiring necessary skills so that we don't always rely on first world countries for expertise and help, because we don't have the money. We need to develop our own skills and become empowered ourselves. So there's various projects which forms part of this whole project, and the repository fits in very well with this thinking behind the rector. Our vice rector research also says in the strategic plan that we would like to leave a scientific footprint in Africa. We would like to increase the number of research output. We would like to share our data, that raw data that Matt has referred to. Who has referred to that? Yeah. Bob. Yeah, he has referred to the raw data sets. We would very much like to make that available so that others can build further research on that without having to invest more money, more time, to repeat research that has already been conducted. We would like to open up our research so that the data can be scrutinized. Why should we be afraid? If you are an honest researcher, why be afraid of exposing your and making your research open? What do you have to hide? So another thing which we are looking into is to implementing a central open access fund, so where publishers require payment if you want to publish, go open access with your article of a hybrid model, then we can assist in funding these articles to be published in open access journals. And the e-repository research system we are busy with, of course. And then the African conference, we would like to host an African conference on open access and scholarly communication. And it's not official yet, so I think we should switch off that camera for a moment. But it seems as if we will be hosting the Berlin conference in 2012 at the University of Stellenbosch, and we are very proud of that. So that's a huge achievement. With regard to the institution repository, this is the definition which has been adopted by most institutions in South Africa, the same one Rosemary referred to by Clifford Lynch. Repository is a set of services for the management and dissemination of digital materials. It can be digitally born or digitized. Like, for example, we would retrospectively, if there's a request for a thesis or dissertation, we would digitize it, or if there's an interlibrary loan request, we would digitize it and also make it available on the repository. So we closely collaborate with other divisions in the library. It's an organizational commitment. It's not only the library's commitment or job to do this. It's each scholar.sun.ac.za. We use the most recent version of DSpace, DSpace 1.6.2, because of the functionality that's been added. Although we promote open access, in some instances, we have documents that's under embargo, we have theses and dissertations which have patent rights registered, so we need to restrict access. And this DSpace 1.6.2 has an automatic embargo lift functionality in it. We've also adopted with the mannequin and implemented the mannequin interface to give it a more local look and feel. I'll tell you more about the items, a number of items later. We've customized it up to faculty level, so we've tried to incorporate the colors of each faculty and at least a little image. This is for the Faculty of Health Sciences, and there's a little picture of a medical practitioners or something to the top right hand side. So how did this repository develop? The repository really started in 2008, before my time. There wasn't a dedicated repository manager. There were no guidelines, there were no policies, nothing were in place. So what happened? People just populated this repository with thesis and dissertations. The metadata was incomplete, it didn't adhere to open standards. There's so many things that went wrong, but we at least had 2,300 full text theses and dissertations, which was great. And this also followed a decision by Senate to make this ambition of theses and dissertations mandatory. And as far as I know, we are the only university in South Africa which only accepts electronic versions of theses and dissertations. So the library no longer accepts printed copies. This also allows for opportunity to create such rich documents, thesis and dissertations. I don't know how many of you are familiar with intermodal thesis and dissertations, where a student can now design or compile a thesis and dissertation full of hyperlinks. When you read it online for an ebook reader or Kindle or whatever, you can click on a hyperlink of a video clip or of an experiment on the repository or a link in the reference list. So there's so much more scope for to be innovative and creative with regard to thesis and dissertations. But that was only the thesis and dissertations. And by the end of December 2009, the Sun Scholar Office was established and I was appointed there. The Sun Scholar Office sounds very big, but actually it's only me and one half person. And then I have an IT support person, which is really great. He's always 100 steps ahead of us, so we're very fortunate to have him, but that makes us feel and look bad. The number of items submitted increased to 300, and we hope by December to have 5,000 items. During the past year, we merged repositories. There were two or three repositories, and it's very difficult to maintain, very labor and cost intensive. And we structured the repository, aligned it with the structure of the university. The metadata was quality was added to the metadata, improved. Electronic workflows were put in place. Roles and responsibilities were sorted out. The catalogers also do quality control. We did a lot of marketing, a lot of training. We upgraded to 1.6.2, and like I've mentioned, the mannequin interface was implemented. And we've purchased some plugins from Admire, but since our support hours, we ran out of support hours, we are now stuck, and since the plugins are not open source, we are stuck. And that's why we very strongly feel pro open source as well, open access, but also open source, but so that we can customize the software according to our needs and have open source plugins and add it to our repository and not rely on proprietary plugins in future. We've learned a lesson with this. Not that the plugins, there's anything wrong with it, it's just we don't have the money to have it installed and reactivated. When it comes to items on Sun Scholar, we distinguish between primary research output and secondary research output. Primary stuff would be the things in our research report, research articles, thesis and dissertations, conference proceedings. And secondary would, of course, be inaugural addresses, posters, images, audio, visual clips, seminars, open lectures, conferences, experiments, data sets, and many more. I can just imagine in your field of expertise, health sciences, a medical procedure being video recorded and then posted to the repository, and then somebody from abroad or from a remote area can connect via mobile technology and view this surgical procedure or experiment or whatever takes place happening and learn from that. Okay, so the workflow with regard to the thesis is somewhat different than the rest of the stuff on the repository. A student gets nominated by the supervisor. The student submits his or her thesis, and then it gets accepted by the supervisor. And only then it's exported to Sun Scholar, where it's reviewed, the metadata is edited and made available. So we don't want our repository to become a dumping ground for all kind of grey material and things that nobody knows where to put. We want to create a real trusted, reliable, high-quality repository. And with regard to articles, it's a very simple workflow. The submitter submits regardless of copyright. We've decided to just tell them, go ahead, submit. And in the workflow for DSpace, there's a second phase, the reviewer step. And during that phase, we clear the copyright. The Sun Scholar Office clears the copyright and do some basic metadata editing. And we will, if it requires that the formatting of the publisher needs to be removed from the document, we will do it and replace the file that's been submitted originally. From the reviewer, which is the Sun Scholar Office, it will go to the metadata editors with the catalogers, and they will edit the metadata, add some quality abstracts, more Library of Congress subject headings, all the library kind of jargon, and then they commit it to the archive where it can be accessed. And yeah, this you've seen this screenshot earlier. We don't have the capacity. Like I've said, we don't have the people to retrospectively go and submit one by one article while it's already being available electronically. But we, at the same time, we don't see it as a duplication of effort. We would like to take ownership of our research at Stellenbosch. We would like to centrally archive our research. We don't want it to be distributed all over with publishers all over the world. At the end of the day, the faculty should be able to, or the department should be able to go to the collection on SunScholar and view all their research output for that year with direct links to the full text. So we don't see this as a duplication of effort, articles being published in open access journals and being made available on open access repositories. So we've worked with Matt Brown, and it was very exciting, and we see this as an experiment, and we hope we can take it further with other publishers. It proved to work very well. Matt managed to submit a couple of items successfully, automatically exported it from Biomed Central into our repository to the reviewer stage. And this is very small, but to the left-hand side is Biomed Central, and to the right-hand side, these tasks are now waiting for me to be reviewed, and some of them were deposited by Matt from Biomed Central. So thanks to Biomed Central for that functionality you offer. Matt said earlier, this is available free of charge to membership countries, and in South Africa, the University of Witwatersrand and the University of Stellenbosch are the only members, if I'm correct. And there's no other members. But what we will definitely do after attending this conference, I'm going to really advocate and try and get our researchers to publish with Biomed Central. Just to demonstrate that the repository is being used worldwide, we use Google Analytics, which is a very powerful statistical tool, free of charge, to monitor the usage of our repository. And following our open access seminar, which we had during Open Access Week, there was 582 visits to our repository with 81% of these new visits. So it couldn't have been our catalogers or our ordinary staff. It were really new visits. And Google also gave us a spreadsheet of who visited. It was countries from all over the world who access our repository. And so it's important for us to register our repository with harvesters, with other platforms, to market our repository in different ways, for example, by presenting at conferences, etc., tell other people about it. And most traffic, as you can see from this to the left-hand side at the bottom, the chart there, most traffic came from the direct leads via search engines, such as Google. And of course, we encourage our faculty to create links wherever they can, from their curriculum vitae, from their personal profiles, from the faculty web pages, departmental web pages, to direct traffic to SunScholar, so that we can increase the usage. And of course, we are now at a stage, although we haven't launched our new SunScholar officially yet, we're already starting to investigate and exploring the golden route to open access, that is publishing with OJS, publishing our open journals at the Stellenbosch University with OJS. And I wanted to mention on the previous slide, this R&D journal was a result of one of our presentations to the Department of Mechanical and Mechatronic Engineering, and they only became aware of the directory of open access journals, and they came to us and they said, but they are an open access journal, how do they get on board? So the library can play an advisory role and tell them how can you make yourself more visible, get listed on this kind of directories. Our first experiment with OJS would be the South African Journal of Industrial Engineering. And their strategy is to, why they decided to go open access is to increase the impact factor. Making their research articles available online means more people will be able to access it and more people will be able to cite it. So we will explore this in more detail on a developmental server during December. And just something I would like to share with you, what we are doing now is to work with wikis and create profile pages for our researchers on wikis. And those of you who are familiar with wikis know that it's it looks like Wikipedia, it's an encyclopedia of all our researchers, all our experts with their biographies, bibliographies and biographies and everything they've published. And in the end, we would like to see that a link is created between their research articles and the repository, the full text on the repository. And also, we this wiki page will remain forever. The departmental pages will be removed once they resign from the university or once they move on to another university. So nothing will be left of, they won't have a legacy left. But with this wiki page, they can leave a legacy behind. I'm almost done. How do we go about to create an open access awareness on campus? So what we try to do is we have many sessions on invitation. We encourage our staff to at least archive a second copy of an article in Sun Scholar and to publish in open access journals, to explore alternative ways of licensing, for example, the Creative Commons licensing. And when they decide to publish an article, we encourage them to also include the Spark addendum or the Scholar's copyright addendum, so that which will allow them to also host a second copy on our repository. Get permission from the start. Not, it's very difficult to go back and work retrospectively. So from the start, when you decide to publish, immediately negotiate with your publisher that you can, and get that consent and submit that consent to together with the article or the item on the repository. We hope to host more workshops, and personally I feel we need a workshop on the Stellenbosch campus for our editors, and hopefully we will also present a more advanced DSpace workshop next year. We would like to create a pool of expertise around open source, not just DSpace, but regarding open source in our province, but also in the bigger South Africa and also Africa, but because I think that's the most affordable way for Africa to go, open source. It's freely available and we get to know, acquire new skills. We participate in open access initiatives, and a real highlight in our senior director's words, she said she regards this open access seminar, which we presented recently, as a milestone for the library and also for the university. So during Open Access Week, we had this physical seminar like this, but we also streamed the seminar in real time via the internet, so people from all over the world were able to follow our presentations in real time. And we had many people from, also from Spain, we had somebody, we had people from the US, from Max Planck Institute, and it was really exciting. So we like exploring new technologies and to do things differently. And of course, also in the spirit of open access and sharing, why not utilize the technology to, through hosting a virtual seminar, do it this way. And it's another way to share and communicate our research. We've heard a lot about communicating research. And during this event, during this seminar, the Berlin Declaration on Open Access to Knowledge in the Sciences and Humanities was signed, which was of strategic importance for our university specifically. And it says, as a signatory, Stellenbosch University hereby commits to implementing a policy that encourages the researchers to deposit a copy of all the published articles in an open access repository, and encouraging researchers to publish their research articles in open access journals where a suitable journal exists, and provide the support to enable that to happen, for example, through an open access research fund. And there's the rector signing the declaration, so he can't get away with it now. We have his full support and he's now hooked, we hope. And I want to conclude in the works of Mark Shuttleworth. We were fortunate to also have a pre-recorded message of congratulations to the Stellenbosch University from Mark. And he said, "The fewer people know about your research, the less it is worth. We'd like to think that the best ideas win, but the truth is that the best communicated ideas win." An author once put it clearly to him. He said, "My greatest fear is not piracy, the stealing of my content. My greatest risk is obscurity." In other words, being ignored and not recognized for the good work you as researchers are doing. Thank you very much. I wish you all the best in Kenya with establishing your repository, and we'll keep an eye on you and how you're progressing. Thank you.